rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be, Jesus.
No place I'd rather be.
No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. And I want more of you, God. And I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. And I want more of you, God. I want more.
Sing it out to the Lord.
There's no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love.
This previous song that we were singing, No Place I'd Rather Be. And we've sang this song for a little while, and long ago, a while back, I used to think about church when I'm having a hard week. And it was that place that I wanted to be when I'm having a hard week. Conflicts at work or whatever. And I just wanted to be at church. I just wanted to be at peace. I just wanted to be with God. I just wanted to just be in that relaxing atmosphere and have the Holy Spirit just kind of minister to me. And there's that no place I'd rather be. And sometimes each one of us feels the same way. Like we want to be at that place, you know, like we're going through some trials. We're going through some tough things. And we just want to be at church away from things. But sometimes we forget, though, too, that God goes with us wherever we go. And that holy place is in us. And that no place that we'd rather be is right here. Because that's where God dwells, is with us. And so if we feel like that we're distant from God, we feel like that there's some distance, that we feel like we're going through a dry desert at that time with whatever situation, it's not because we need this building, because this building is a structure. It's just wood. It's God that dwells in us, not in this building. And so sometimes it's like we're going through that week and we just have to remind ourselves and ask the Holy Spirit to minister to us if we're going through that dry valley at that moment, because there's no place I'd rather be. Well, that moment is always at the moment when you say, God, I need you right there. I need you right then and there. And then God will minister to you at that time. Amen, church.
Fill me up, God. Fill
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank God for what he did last week when he released a great amount of love and anointing. He just poured it out last week. But it didn't stay for last week. We should have left here just filled with his anointing and his love, his grace, his mercy, his faith. And just a few of you that I've spoken to this morning, there's been infections, there's been sore necks, there's been, and I'm probably at 75% today. But the Lord does not want us to leave here the same way we came here. And I don't know about you, but I don't like being at 75%. I don't like being at 95%. I want to go and go and go. And I want to move in the Lord. And so I am saying right now, I declare in this house, we are walking under the power, under the anointing, under the healing of the living God. And so you that have infection, be gone in the name of Jesus. You that have fear, be gone in the name of Jesus. You that have stiffness and sore aches and pains and just doubt, whatever your ailment is, be gone in the name of Jesus. Stand under the power and under the authority and under his anointing and his love and his grace. Stand in faith. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to
God. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you,
Christ this morning.
Father, we receive your love. We receive your mercies. We receive your grace. We receive your kindness. God, we receive who you are in our lives, Father God. We receive it, Jesus. God, as we receive it, we pray that you would increase it in our lives, Jesus. God, as we receive it, we pray, God, that more would be poured out, Jesus. God, that more grace, more mercy, more love would be poured out in this place right now, Father God. Release, God, the open heavens, God, in this place. Release open heavens in this place, God. God, as we receive your mercies and your love, God, pour them out, Lord. Pour them out, Jesus. Pour them out, Jesus. We receive them, Lord. We receive them this morning, Jesus. We receive them, Lord. For you know our every need and all our desires, God. You know our every need before we even ask, God. Before we even ask, you know our every need, God. Every hurt, every pain, every weakness, God. You pour out your love, God. Yes, Jesus. We just receive you, Lord. We receive you,
Don't want to give a praise report and just let the body be edified. And many of you saw me a week ago. Yeah, a week ago. And I had an air cast on. So I was helping my brother move some stuff. And damn it, fractured my foot 2 weeks ago. And well, anyways, the short story is I'm healed. I'm walking. They told me 3 to 6 weeks, and I think it's important. You know, we've been talking about, you know, we just pray and we talk about faith and healings and pains and aches, and I just how great, I want to share how great God is, that I didn't have to do anything for him to heal my foot, right? There was no special recipe or system or nothing. Because of his love, he decided that he would heal my damaged foot. So I want to give thanks to you, Father, in front of my brothers and sisters, in front of every living thing that can hear my voice. Praise be to God for the fixing, the healing of my foot that I, once a week ago, could not even walk. And today, I'm able to walk and do everything else. So you get the glory and you get the praise, Almighty God. Thank you for your healing hand. Amen. And I believe that is there for everybody. It's not a limited once in a while thing. That's who our God is. So I want to share that, or rather, my wife, Michelle, prompted me to share it. And I believe it so that you guys could be encouraged and you could see and hear that the Lord is good.
To a God we lift. Matthew 26:26.
As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Always love communion, our time together to just remember the Lord's death, proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. But more than that, I believe we get to commune or partnership in the work of the cross during communion. It's supernatural. It's not just juice and bread. Something takes place that God literally, I believe, connects with us in a way that brings healing to our body. We've been talking about healing, been talking about deliverance and freedom. I believe it's a very intimate moment. And here at One Life, what we like to do is take what's called family communion. And we are a family, but as we play a little bit longer, as you feel you want to come up with your family, if you're here by yourself, I invite you to come up with our family, or I'm sure someone else would love to have you be included in their family. And come up and take the bread. I won't do it right now. But remember
that his body was broken.
His body was broken so that we could be made whole. His body was ripped, shredded, torn,
yes.
Lacerated.
Yes. Beard ripped out.
Yep, beard ripped out. Thorns placed on his head, all of that representing us being made whole, us being made restored, not only in our hearts, but also in our physical body, not only in our souls from being separated from God and being redeemed, but in our physical body. I believe because of the events today that the Lord wants to heal bodies. I'm going to receive. I've been prayed for multiple times for my neck. I did something on Friday. I don't know what it was. But it's getting better and better. So I'm going to believe as I receive communion that I'm going to be participating in the healing power that's in the cross. And so any of you who are sick in body, maybe your soul is sick. Maybe you're just having a wilderness experience. Just receive God's grace and love and peace.
Yeah.
Be thankful for the sacrifice that was made for you. It was made for you. It's very personal. We're a family, but God's love for us is very personal too. And he did this for you alone. I was listening to something today and someone was reminding me that for somehow God is able to do it, we're all his favorite. He doesn't have favorites, but we're all his favorite. How does that happen? Well, he's God. So to you, that intimacy, that personal relationship, you're his favorite. Maybe not everybody's going to get it. I like to say the pastor that Jesus loved. You know, not just the disciple, the pastor, the son Jesus loved. But that body was broken. And his blood was shed. His blood was shed for us to make us not only able to go to heaven, even though that's an amazing thing, and someday we'll all be able to enjoy what eternal life brings, but so that today you and I can be made whole and righteous, pure, 100% guilt-free. Guilt-free. Some of us carry guilt. Some of us carry pain. Some of us carry things from the past and haven't been able to release them. Today, when you take of this cup, remember, the work's done. It's a finished work. And as you drink, say, Lord, today I receive once again that righteous work of your blood in my life. That holy work that makes this messed up case perfect in your sight. That someone's house last night, Glenn and Lotta were the host home for prayer, and someone said to them, they're the perfect family. Right, Glenn? Glenn's just soaking it up. But they are. You know why? Because God makes them perfect. In all our inadequacies and all of our problems, God makes us perfect. Our own strength, we can't be a perfect family. But in Christ, we're a perfect family. Isn't that amazing? So as the music plays, I'm just going to pray over the bread and the juice. I said blood before and kids freak out. So, Father, we thank you for your broken body. Thank you for your shed blood. Thank you for your Son that you sent for us. Freely gave his life. Freely laid down your life, Lord. Father, we thank you that you have started a good work in us. And today, as we participate in communion, we're going to receive even more from your throne, because we get to partnership. We get to commune and have fellowship with you today as we take your bread and your juice that you've given us. We believe, Lord, a supernatural work is going to take place here today in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. That's awesome. How many really feel that the Lord touched them just now? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, today, as many of you know, is Mother's Day. So I'm going to ask, if you are a mother, would you please stand so we can honor you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have something for you. How would you? Huh? At the end. So at the end, if you would please come up, we're going to have something for you just right up here. It's a nice little gift, appreciation. Thank you for doing everything that you do as a mother. I know that it means late nights, sleepless nights, pain. Amen, Mom. Pain. Pain in the heart, physical pain. Yeah, so thank you, mothers, for just being there and being faithful. One more time, guys. Praise the Lord. All right, would the children and Impact please come up? Impact is our youth. Praise the Lord. We have one Impact up here. Wow, okay, here they come. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your children. We thank you, God, that you're doing a mighty work in this day, Lord. And we, Lord, believe, Lord, that you're going to use them now in this hour, Lord, for your glory. We pray, God, that they would be used on their school grounds. Lord, that they would be used as they play video games. Lord, that they would be used, Lord, as they're just working and playing in sports. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just allow your voice to speak through them, Lord. Pray, God, you would draw them closer and closer and closer to you, Lord, so that they get to know you, Lord, as you want them to know you fully, intimately. Pray a blessing on their studies today, Lord. Help them learn more about who they are and who you are. And let them grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, as I was thinking about Mother's Day, you know, normally I don't preach anymore. What do I want to call it? Theme days. But as I was thinking about Mother's Day and thinking about, you know, great women of faith from the Bible, a certain woman came to my heart, and I've thought about this several times, and I said, oh, someday maybe I'll get to preach that message, and today is the day. The Lord reminded me of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and where it says that, well, we'll read it here in a moment, but first let's go to, I don't want to get ahead of myself, let's turn to Joshua. How about that? Turn to him, yes. Turn to Joshua and say hi as he leaves. The book of Joshua in the Bible. How's that? As Joshua sits back there and soaks in all the attention. Not him, huh? Let's go ahead, and this is pretty much the entire chapter of Joshua 2. So if you haven't had your Bible reading in today, you're going to get some. Joshua 2:1. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Asia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And as it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men were in Joshua. You're trying to find it, hon? Yeah, she's looking. Do you get it? Joshua chapter 2. Oh, we're at verse 4, I think, or something there. 7. Thank you. There you go, hon. No worries. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven, above and on earth beneath. Now, I'm not going to preach on this, but that's powerful. That's Israel having basically God make a way for them. they had a reputation, and they had a reputation because the Lord was their God, and he did all those exploits, and it brought fear to the hearts of their enemies. I believe that many of you face things at times, and fear starts to grip you, but you need to believe that because of God in you, the enemy has fear of you. Yes. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house. My mother, my brothers, and my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours. If none of you tell the business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the wall, on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made a swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household to your home, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over, and they came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all that had befallen them. And he said, and they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. So we have, I'm going to try to reiterate just in case you missed in the reading and stuff. We have a delegation of two that go to Jericho to spy out this land. Now the Lord said he was going to give the children of Israel the promised land. They had been basically wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Their parents had pretty much all died except for Joshua and Caleb. That's all that was left of the original men that came out of that great exodus that came out of Egypt, the deliverance. So just two people basically were left who were part of that. Moses had now since gone and Aaron had gone, so it was just these two men. And two other men went out to spy, and I don't think that they were going out to sit there and fret and worry. I think they were just going to gather information, kind of reconnaissance. And so while they're in Jericho, they end up spying it out, but they end up staying the night in a harlot's house. And don't want to get into all of that, but her name was Rahab. And she protected these men. And because she protected them and kept the king, whoever was the leader at that time, from finding them, she asked, will you do me a favor? Will you deliver us when you come and take the city? Because we know you're going to take this city, because God does great exploits through you guys. And so they agree, and she then tells them that, you know, I want not just me, I want my father, my family, I want everybody in my household to be saved. Now, I think it's very interesting that it's a red rope. Red rope. That's the title of the message anyway, Jesse. Red rope. I think I told him that. And, you know, that color of red representing what?
Blood.
And so she is going to basically create a deliverance room for her family. And when you know, this great fall of this city takes place, and it is a great fall. If you would do this with me, turn real quickly to Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. We'll kind of catch the story a little bit further down the road. Are you familiar with this? There's a order that God has given the children of Israel to go around this city, Jericho, and to basically be silent every day while they're marching. And on the final day, the seventh day, they're to roar and shout and blow trumpets and all this stuff. But up to that point, they're to be quiet. And so what ended up happening is that when they do this, the walls fall. And it says that in verse 20, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. That's very interesting. So if you picture this, her house was on the wall. And the wall that surrounded the entire city fell down flat. That to me is amazing. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, and you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundations with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. So I did a little picture last night. It's not that good. Oh, David, you're up there. Are you running the multimedia? I actually have a picture, have something. I haven't had multimedia for a while, but let's see. I drew this, so I mean, it's not like, you know, real fancy. But what I wanted to show is that When this was all said and done, this event took place, there was a single tower standing up, and there was rubble completely all around. And God brought a mighty deliverance through this woman's faith. Because that's what this woman had. She had faith. Do you believe she had faith? She stepped out on faith. Let's go ahead and listen to this. James chapter 2, verse 25. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Hebrews 11:31 says something of her. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish when those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. So this woman, Rahab, is a pretty powerful woman. She was a Canaanite. They were basically the enemies that God said, wipe them out. But because of her confidence, I believe not, it doesn't state here, but I believe her confidence was in God that he could deliver her. Not just the bargain he made with them, you know, with the two spies that she made with them. I believe that it was a confidence in the Lord himself that she was putting it in. And that faith delivered her. But now, it's Mother's Day. And this is why I wanted to bring this up. Because I believe there's more to this redemptive story if you really look at all the scripture where it talks about Rahab. And this is where it becomes very interesting. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. I know we're going all over the Bible. And we're going to go to verse 3. Now, this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and this is the genealogy that Matthew wrote. Matthew was a tax collector. He is very, very familiar with Jewish law and Roman law, and Matthew wanted to make sure that in this book, I believe by the Holy Spirit, that it was clear that Jesus was from the lineage of David, that he was of the seed of David. And so he's giving, basically, this lineage of David. Now, it's very interesting. In verse 3, if you start, Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon. Now, Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. So not only was Rahab delivered, but Rahab then ends up marrying the great-grandfather of David. Rahab, not only that scarlet rope, that red rope that she tied around her house, protected and delivered her, it set her in the lineage of Christ. She is a perfect example of us as Gentiles, of us as, you know, non-Jewish people being redeemed. Even back then, the blood was working. Even back then, the cross was working. If you think about how amazing that is, that the very enemy of the Israelites that they were supposed to destroy ends up becoming the great-great-grandmother of David. And of course, we know that David is in that line of the Messiah. Yeah. And we talk about Mother's Day, and you think about how important it is, women of God, women of faith, to stand in these days and make a stand. You don't know what your lineage can be. You don't know what your great-grandchildren can do for the kingdom of God. You don't even know what, you know, your children who are alive right now, what they're going to do. And know that your example, that you live today, that you show how you love God and how you are seeking after him, can be a force that influences their life. I believe Rahab must have had some special character, that she was not just your ordinary woman, that something made David's great-grandfather say, even though this is a Gentile, I see godliness in her. I see destiny in her. I see something that probably others didn't see. Now, you may find, and I'm going to let you know this because I want to make this disclaimer, you may find in some of the writings of historians that they'll say that this isn't Rahab the spy. This is another Rahab. Some of you may already be looking at your concordances and stuff, your commentaries. But I don't believe that. I don't believe that because I, I, I just can't see God putting in just an arbitrary name of somebody in this lineage when there's only four women mentioned in Jesus' genealogy. And all four of these women are pretty, well, if you look at Tamar, she's the one who actually had Judah sleep with her so that she could basically have her birthright that she had because her husband had died and Judah was supposed to give his youngest son to her. He didn't do that. So Tamar is mentioned. Then you have Ruth mentioned. We know that Ruth was also a Gentile woman, and she was one who basically went and laid at Boaz's feet and committed herself to Naomi and said, you know what, your God's going to be my God, your people are my people. So she's mentioned. And I believe Rahab's mentioned because of the power that it has of God's redemptive work in our lives. God's work does not matter where we're from. Do you guys realize that? If we have faith in God, it doesn't matter what our background's like. I mean, she's the ultimate in showing that. Because she was a sworn enemy, a Canaanite woman, who they were supposed to destroy everything there. But because of, I believe, her faith, and we see her faith being demonstrated here in James and Hebrews, she receives the promise of deliverance. But not only that, she receives the promise of a messianic lineage that Jesus, she's a part of Jesus' life. So you think about that. You think about how great God is. You think about his delivering power. I bet that was a sight for the Israelites. I mean, obviously those stones, and I made those stones look like they're there, but actually somehow God pressed the wall into the ground. I don't know how he did that, but it said it was flat. And you think about that 30, 40 foot walls going right down into the ground. That would have been cool. Next time you think of, Rahab, you think of that red rope, just remember that same redemptive work works in your life every single day. Every single day, if we let it, it's our choice. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he must flee. Key is submitting to God.
Exactly.
Yeah. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you. Lord, I thank you, God, for women of faith, God, in your word, Lord, that are our example. Lord, that show, God, what can happen when a life is sacrificed and surrendered to you wholly. And Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, that the redemptive work that Rahab experienced, Lord, we'd experience in our lives. Lord, that scarlet thread, Lord, would wrap around our hearts, Lord, and we realize that it's by your blood, Lord, that we're made, as we said earlier, made clean and whole and perfect. And Father, I just bless every mother here today right now. I bless them, God, for their hands of diligence, their hands of faith. Lord, I believe we have many Proverbs 31 women in this house, Lord. And I pray, God, you continue to bless them. Continue to reveal yourself to them as Father, Lord. Let them realize the daughter, Lord, that they are, the princess that they are in your eye, Lord. I pray, God, for supernatural gifts, Lord, to come to them, Lord, in these coming days, Lord, that you would allow, Lord, the ability, Lord, to be used by you, Lord, to lead other family members, Lord, to know you, Lord, to bring healing, Lord, to their family members. God, that they would be used with words of knowledge and words of wisdom, God, to help give direction and guidance, Lord, to their children, their family members. God, I pray that you would just allow your presence to just surround them 24/7. Lord, that they would experience you, the reality of who you are. Lord, we thank you, God, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for Mother's Day, God. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you're doing a work, Lord, on this earth, God, and that you're doing it through your women of God, Lord, your daughters of your kingdom, Lord. And we pray, God, that they would just rise up and become who they are. Lord, that they would make a difference, Lord, as Rahab made a difference, Lord, in lineage, Lord, in the destiny of those that are down the line from them. And we just thank you, Lord, for your work, your eternal work that's in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. That's a short one, huh? Praise God. All work the same, don't they? Praise the Lord. Do you have something, honey? Nothing. Just for the women.